Bruchim Abayim, everybody. Welcome to our Monday night Parsha class. This week's Parsha is Parshas Vayetze. Today, it's Dalet Kislev, Tovshin Pei Beis, corresponding with the English calendar, November 8th, 2021. I'd like to, like I've done in the past, dedicate the Zeichen Nishmas, my parents, my father, Avi Meiri, Natatriben, Ben Bitsi Moshe, and my mother, Shoshana Vita Bas, Rabbi Yisrael HaLevi, Lezichron, Nishmasan, Nishbiyas Okush, my Dimud HaTeira, with the Tzibor, Shibiyas Okush for us and for them. I would like to remind everybody that it's also the week of that you could begin saying Kiddush Levana. If there is a Levana available, that would be beautiful for you all to be able to make a bracha on the Levana. There are special zuchuyos for those who are able to make the bracha on the moon. Parshat Vayetze is a very relevant parsha. It's relevant because it has to do with the average Ben Yisrael. What do I mean to say? What way is the average Ben Yisrael? Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak, that we discussed previously, all set the tone on different levels. Avraham set the tone for doing chesed, and he represented doing it with ahava. Yitzchak represented the midah of yira, of fear, and the midah of tefillah, we're all familiar with from the previous parsha. Yaakov Avinu represents Jew entering galus, Jew having to live with Lavan. And this is actually packaged the first few psukim of the parsha as the parsha begins, Vayetze Yaakov mebe'er shava vayelech chorona. Yaakov went out of Be'er Shava and he went to the city of Choron. Rashi, right away, asks why is it necessary to repeat that he left Be'er Shava. He said it in the past parsha. So the Pirush of the Beis HaLevi explains that he fulfilled mitzvah of his father and mother. His father commanded him to go to Choron, find a wife from his family, and not to look at any of the girls from Canaan. Mother told him to flee from Esav. And by doing this, the Torah tells us he fulfilled the command of his father and mother. But as a result, this was the beginning of Yaakov's galus. And knowing that Yaakov was going to go into galus, he prepared him for this moment of galus. We're familiar that he, after Samach Gimel, 63 years being with his father Yitzchak and learned Torah on the highest level, still detoured to the Beis HaMedrash of Shem and Aver to learn an additional 14 years of Torah. As I heard from Rav Gifta Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the Talmid of Rosh Yeshiva, why was that necessary? He learned so much Torah from his father, another 14 years was going to make a difference. And the Rosh Yeshiva explained, for the first 63 years, he learned Torah, how to live Torah with a tzaddik. Now he had to prepare learning and living Torah with Rasha and in the world of Rishus. He needed the extra preparation. And with this, he goes into Galus. We're all familiar. He went to Galus almost penniless, just with a shirt on his back and a staff in his hand. Because we're familiar what happened. Medrash says that Eliphaz, the son of Esav, came to kill Yaakov by command of his father Esav. And Yaakov and Eliphaz actually grew up together as children playing with each other. And Eliphaz had no real reason to hurt Yaakov at all. As a matter of fact, they were friends. But he was petrified from his father Esav that I have to kill you. So Yaakov said, I was taught that an ani chashuv kemes, a poor person is like a dead person. He has nothing to him, to himself. Take all my possessions, because for sure his father Yitzchak left him, or sent him, I should say, with camels loaded with food and drink and servants and gold and silver and everything you can imagine to attract the girl, the appropriate girl, to marry Yaakov. But this time he said, take it all and say to father, I fulfilled my mission, here it's all. And father will not bother him. And Eliphaz took everything that he had, and now Yaakov is on his way to Haran, to where he was told to go. Now in Galus. There's an interesting Baal HaTurim that speaks out on this parsha. It's brought down on the Sefer Sichas Musa, a very interesting Baal HaTurim. Says in the entire parshas by Yetze, there are no breaks at all, no interruptions. There's no samachs and there is no peis. There is no interruption. We know a parsha is always divided and is recognized with these little interruptions, like little breathers, time to think, time to breathe, time to internalize the Torah's message. In Parsha Vayetze, there is no interruption at all. The Parsha continues on with no interruption. The whole story of Yaakov with no interruption. There's the Baal HaTurim. It could be an explanation to how Yaakov went into Galus. He went into Galus subdued, modest, humble. He didn't want to go into Galus to be outspoken and conspicuous. When dealing with Rishayim, when dealing with an Esav that he later had to deal with, he went into Galus b'chashoy, hiddenly. And the Parsha hints to that attitude of not gaining public opinion relations. You want to have everyone look at you and speak about you and emphasize you. Yaakov the Jew didn't want to be conspicuous. He wanted to be humble and rather not so obvious and seen. That would be the best way he would deal in the challenges of Galus. And that's just a hint that the Baal HaTurim tells us. But that's a side point. Yaakov Avinu going into Galus. And even though we are all familiar with the attributes of Avram and Yitzchak, Parshas Vayetze dwells on Yaakov Avinu doing his mission, being the simple, down-to-earth person the family man, the one who deals with Olam Hazeh, the one who builds a house, the one who has to raise children, the one who has to take care of cattle, the one who deals with the mundane. Yes, that's Yaakov Avinu, and that's the parsha that deals with Yaakov Avinu, who sets the example by being the role model for a Jew in Golus. We are be familiar with, even though Avram and Yitzchak, and are there, which we I mentioned before, all stand for very special attributes. I mentioned before, Yaakov stands for Kedusha, for the holiness, for the holiness that has to do with Rishus, with the mundane, things that are not necessarily holy. He deals with that, and then he creates the environment that elevates the simple, that elevates the mundane. We actually have an allusion, the Nesiva Shalom alludes to the fact that our Shmona Esrei, that we say every single day, actually alludes to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in the very, very beginning. At the very beginning, it talks about Gemel Chasadim Tevim V'Kain Yaakov. The first bracha is a bracha that represents Avram Avinu. He's all full of love, all full of doing mitzvahs asei. That's the first bracha in Shmona Esrei. The second bracha in Shmona Esrei is about Yira, about fear. It talks about Midah of Gevura. Ato Gibor li'olam Hashem, v'chaye meisem atarav lo'oshia. It reflects to the attribute of Gevura, of Yitzchak. And the last bracha is Kedusha. Ata Kodesh v'shimcha Kodesh u'kodesh v'chol yom yahaluch ha'sela, says the Nesiva Shalom, is referring to the attribute of Yaakov Avinu. But Yaakov Avinu stood for Kedusha. Matter of fact, there's a very interesting allusion to the word Yaakov. But Yaakov was named Yaakov because he grabbed onto the heel of his brother Esav's heel, and he therefore was called Yaakov. The word Ekev means a heel. Ekev is spelled Ayin Kuf Vez. If you rearrange the words Ekev, it's Rashi Tevis of Kodesh Atzmacha B'Mutalach. Kadesh Atzmacha B'Mutalach. Make things that are mutted to you holy. He stood for raising the level of the mundane. And by reading the parsha, we're going to read now the beginning of the story of Yaakov inside. Vayivka b'mokoyim v'yovan sham. And we know that Yaakov Avinu traveled to Haran, and he suddenly passed by the place of the Beis HaMikdash, and he camped there. Yivah HaShemesh, which the sun suddenly set. Vayikach mi'avnei hamokom, and he took from the stones of the place, me'lashosav, putting it under his head or around his head, vayishka b'mokem ahu, and he slept in that place. The Torah continues, vayachalom, and he dreamt, v'hinei sula mutzav arza, behold, the ladder was situated on the ground, v'roshal magia hashamayma, at the top of the ladder, reach the heavens. V'hinei malachei elokim olim v'yoridim bo. And behold, angels of Hashem were going up and going down in it. V'hinei Hashem nitzav olav. On top, Hashem was on the top. Oh, this is all in a dream, obviously. Was on top of the ladder. V'yomar, ani Hashem, I am Hashem, Elokei Avraham Avicha, the God of your father, Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, and the God of Yitzchak. Ka'aretz, the land that she'ata shokev olea, the land that you are laying upon. L'cho'et nena olazarecha, I will give it to you and to your children. V'hoye zarecha ka'afa ha'aretz, and your children will be like the dust of the land. U'faratzta, and you will spread out. Yomar v'keima, to the west and to the east. V'tzafona v'negba, to the north and to the south. V'nivruku v'cha, and all the families of the earth and their children will bless themselves in you. This is what Hashem was telling him. And all of the pasuk continues on, and as it go, another pasuk, the pasuk says, Vayikat Yaakov Mishnasai, Yaakov woke up from his sleep, Vayomer, and he said, Achein, it's true. Yes, Hashem b'mokim hazeh. Hashem is in this place, v'neicha lo yadati. I did not know this. V'yira, and he was afraid, he was frightened. V'yoma, and he said, Manoma ha-mokam hazeh. How fearful is this place. Ein zeh, this is not ki'im beis alakim, only the house of Hashem, v'zeh shah shemayim. And this is the gates of the heavens. This is the basic story that we're all familiar with, the story of the ladder, the dream of the ladder with Malachim going up and going down. What has happened over here in this dream? And what was the message being conveyed to Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Avinu right now was being told the destiny of the Jew in Golus. He was being taught through the dream of the ladder that it's possible to live on this earth doing mundane things, to be busy with work, to be busy with raising a family, to be busy with making money, tending cattle, doing very mundane things, and yet your goal is lofty and high. Your goal is to make a Kiddush Hashem. Your goal is to raise the awareness that Hashem is all around us and that you're doing Hashem's bidding. I often, as a teacher, meet students on various levels. I sometimes meet students who are professionals. They're lawyers, they're doctors, they're businessmen, and they're all making money. Some of them making lots of money. And I like to tell them, encourage them, I want you to know, your boss is my boss. We have the same boss. Your job is the same as my job. And they look at me, what are you talking about? The cardiologist looks at me, the dentist is looking at me, what do you mean, your job, my job? We're in two different professions. I says, no, and I'll explain you what I mean. My boss and your boss is Hashem. My job and your job is to make a Kiddush Hashem. Our station in life is different. Hashem put us in different places. I can't make a Kiddush Hashem where you are, and you can't make a Kiddush Hashem where I am. But our job is the same, and we have the same boss. Don't forget that. I like to part with those words when I meet old Talmidim. And basically, this is what Yaakov Avinu is teaching us over here. Hashem was trying to show Yaakov Avinu, yes, you dreamt about a ladder. The ladder is stationed on the ground. Sulam mutzav arza, v'rosha magia hashamayim. And the top of the ladder is up in heaven, way, way up in heaven. It means to say, you can do your work in this world, providing you know what your goals are, providing you know to make a Kiddush Hashem and to act according to the ways of the Torah. Yaakov Avinu actually stood for that. He stood for that for Golus. He davened Tfilas Marav. Marav is at night, represents Golus, the night of Golus. And Yaakov was showing us how to live in Golus. You have to live in Golus not with so much ostentatious living. You shouldn't be so conspicuous. Don't make the goyim look at you that much. Don't have so much attention poured on you. Be b'chashoy, be modest and humble, and you'll go through Golus much more at peace than if you look to make yourself outspoken and have everybody look at you and consider your position. I know the Gedolei Yisrael were never very happy when a Jew would be in the limelight. I know whether it's in the presidency of America or whether it's to be a famous governor. They were very, very concerned. There was tremendous amount of trepidation. The more the Jew is in the limelight, the more danger it can cause the Jewish people. That's a rule in general. And this is the message that Yaakov was saying. He's going to go into Golus. And that was the message that the Balei Turim were trying to say. He is running to his family in Haran, looking for a wife, but he's not looking to be outstanding. He's not looking to attract attention. He's looking to do Ratzon Hashem. He's looking to work for Lavan, to be an honest worker. And as you know, he confronted Lavan, and we all know the story that Lavan was a tricker. As soon as Lavan met Yaakov, he looked for his money. He couldn't believe Yaakov was without the camels that Eliezer, several years ago, had all stacked to the hilt with food and money and jewelry and clothing and what have you. Where is Yaakov's? He was very disappointed. You all know that at the end of the day, finally, Yaakov explained to them that he had it, but he lost it. And Lavan made him work. And he said, you know what? If you want my daughter Rachel, you can have her, but you have to work 7 years. And we know how Lavan swindled Yaakov right at the day of the wedding. And he exchanged Rachel for Leah. And this is how he dealt with Lavan, as a tricker. Lavan Harami, if the Torah tells us he was a tricker, this is the Lavan, and this is the world we're living in. We're living in a world of Sheker. This is the world of Lavan. And Yaakov, despite all of this, maintains his honesty. He maintains his integrity, despite many, many times that he was cheated and swindled. This is Yaakov. Yaakov is teaching us all about how to behave in Golus. As we are familiar with all of this, Nesiv HaShalom writes something beautiful which I would like to read. And as I read it, it focuses on the ladder, as we spoke about a moment ago, and it puts the whole perspective in the perspective of a Jew being a Golus right on the line. And let me read what it says. The ladder which extends from the earth to the heavens, with those going up as well as those coming down, demonstrates that it is possible even to employ earthly matters to gain elevation and reach the heavens. Spiritual attainments are achievable not only when ascending and dealing exclusively with the lofty pursuits, but even when descending to the confines of this world. But the key is to also stay on the ladder, on the sulam, that is, to remain within the framework of sanctity. One who steps away from the ladder will plunge swiftly downward. By remaining within the framework, he can ascend step by step to higher and higher levels, even when having to go down towards the earth, that is, to involve himself in more mundane matters of necessity. He can also grow. What is vital, however, is to stay within the borders of Kedusha even in such instances. Then, instead of being drawn downward by the pull of materialism, he may use these opportunities for drawing closer to Hashem, such that he can eventually ascend the ladder, even reaching the pinnacle of which it states, "Behine Hashem nitzav alav," and behold, Hashem stood atop it. So what the Nesivos Shalom has just said, that as long as you're on the ladder, you can go up and you can go down. When you go down and you're down into the materialism of this world, you can raise the materialism and make it holy. For example, you take a fruit, and you make a bracha. And you make a bracha with kavana. You've just elevated the food. You'd have done a great service. You've done a great service to that fruit. If the fruit would have a mouth, it would say, "Please eat me and make a bracha." You have elevated my purpose, my place in this world. You can do anything that's with physicality by having the right kavana. You can eat a meal and enjoy it to have the strength to serve Hashem, to eat but not overeat, to enjoy and not to overindulge, so that we enjoy the food, not make food the purpose of living. You do a thing such as exercise. That's very mundane. You can do the bicycle and jog for exercise. You can play basketball and soccer for exercise, to have a mind that's free and relaxed to do other things that require more attention. As long as the L'shem Shemayim, even the playing, is also a mitzvah. That's going down the ladder. Even that becomes a mitzvah. You name it, you figure it out, and I can tell you, that thing that you tell me, you can make it holy. Every physical pleasure, if it's done with the right attitude, can become holy, become a mitzvah. And that is what Yaakov was telling us. That in Galus, I have to keep a low profile. I have to be honest. I have to be clear on what I would like to do. I have to be fair. I have to deal with people with sincerity. Yes, Yaakov can take the mundane and make it holy and special. Anything you do can become holy if you have the right attitude and you go to it with the right approach. Now, I myself once mentioned and my own insight to the dream of the ladder, and I would like to share this with you. On a much more juvenile level, we're talking about angels climbing the ladder, and they're going up and going down. I said to myself, isn't that a strange dream? Angels need a ladder. Angels have wings. Angels could zip from one end of the world to the other, needless to say, to climb a ladder. What was Yaakov looking at when he saw angels going up and down the ladder? You know, angels would need a ladder, would be comparable to an Olympic swimmer putting on a pair of ice skates. Why does he need ice skates in a pool? Like, why do angels need a ladder to go from the bottom to the top? So I said my own insight. The following is that Yaakov was dreaming the dream of the Jewish people, of Ben Yisrael, every Jew, you and I. That the way a Jew grows in Torah learning is like a malach going up the ladder, a step at a time. A step at a time. Sometimes hard to grow, but you take a step at a time. You know, sometimes we go down the ladder. We have to get the strength to climb the ladder, to go up the ladder. But a Jew who wants to grow in Torah should follow the lead of the Malach. Why a Malach? Because every Jew can rise to the challenge in becoming the level of a Malach. Because a Malach can go soar to Shemayim, and so can we. Human beings are even greater than Malachim, and I once mentioned this in a shir. We are not stagnant. We are dynamic. We can grow from level to level. And therefore, perhaps the marshal, I would say, the ladder where Malachim are climbing, they're going up and going down, is how we grow in our midos tovos, and how we grow in our Yiddishkeit. We go up. Sometimes we take two steps up and one step down. Another two steps up, one step down. It's a constant growth process, and that's how we get to the top of the ladder. It's a struggle. It's a climb. It's a challenge. That is the destiny of the Jew. This is what Yaakov Avinu was teaching us, that we have to live with Lavan. We have to live in the Goyisha world when there's so much corruption, there's so much immorality, there's so much violence, there is so much negativity. Yaakov knew that. Yaakov prepared himself for that. He prepared himself with Torah. And therefore, gentlemen, this is what I'm trying to tell you all. In preparing for Golus, we have to prepare like Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov learned Torah, and with the Torah that he learned, it insulated him from the harsh and toxic influences of the world around him. We have to know there is no greater protection than learning Torah. It's not easy. It's challenging. But we have to do it in order to preserve ourselves and preserve our families. This is Yaakov's lesson. Yaakov taught us how a Jew is to live in Golus. He can make anything that's mundane holy. Just follow the example of the ladder. The ladder was a sula mutzav arza v'rosha magia hashamayma. It was stationed in this world, grounded in the mundane, grounded in materialism. But the rosho, the top of the ladder, magia hashamayma, it reached the heavens. All depends on the attitude. This is where we are supposed to stop and internalize the message. course, we all are able to manage to get to the top. It's up to us to attempt and to try. In the Mir Hashem, we will. Have a wonderful week. Be Matzliach, whatever you do. Ultimately.